Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for this day. We ask for your blessings upon our hour this morning as we come, as we once again open up your word, as we study. We pray that you would guide, lead, and direct once again. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us your word, and Lord, help us to learn, help us to grow, help us to mature into the believer you would have us to be today. And Lord, we pray that you would go with us this week that lies ahead. We pray for all that we encounter this week, that we would do your will, that we'd always put you first in all that we do. And we pray for your will to be done in our lives. We do pray for those that are sick this morning. We do pray for the many prayer requests, the ones that have already been mentioned this past week, the ones that will be mentioned this morning as well. We pray for your will to be done in each and every one of those. Help us to always accept your will. And Lord, may your will be done there. We do pray for, once again, our missionaries and how important they are to the ministry to the world. And we pray that you would bless them this morning, bless their works, their families. We pray that you would once again give fruit for their labors. We pray that you guide, lead, and direct in their life. We pray that you take the next few moments as we study your word. And we ask for your blessings this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thought I was better last week. And I finally broke down and realized I've got to go to the doctor and get some help. So I went last Sunday. Now, let me just warn you, don't ever go to a walk-in clinic on a Sunday. I went in, and the lady said it's going to be kind of a long wait. And I said that'll be fine. And the wait was 3 hours. So if you're not sick and you sit in that room, you'll be sick before you leave. And it was an experience in itself. But finally, I was able to see the doctor and so forth, and it was completely packed full of people and kids, and you know, nothing any worse than children who has a mom that can't control their children. You ever seen people like that in a doctor's clinic when you don't feel well? And but anyway, and then I was able to leave there and go to Walgreens to get my prescription and so forth, and got there, and I was third one in line. First guy, his prescription was called into Walmart and filled and not Walgreens. And because it was already filled at Walmart, they have to call Walmart and get them to, to unfill his prescription so they can fill it there. So we get all that worked out. The next person in line, she didn't have a medical card, and she doesn't have a Social Security number, so she couldn't get her controlled substance prescription. So I was there, we were there, an hour, I guess, or so forth. And one of the kids that was at the clinic where I was at, he throws up all over the floor at Walgreens. And now at Walgreens, if somebody throws up on the floor, they have to call hazmat. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, I'm never going to get my prescriptions. I'm never going to make it back home. And but I was lucky. They just had mine at the counter, so I hurried up and paid the lady and got out of there, and then have to rope off the whole area and wait for hazmat to come in and clean it up. And so the story is you'd be a lot safer just to go to church on Sunday than the doctor's clinic on a Sunday, I'll tell you that. But anyway, it's good to be here this morning. Can I complain a little bit? Because my wife won't let me complain. Will y'all let me complain a little bit? I am. I finally got some people listening to me here. But anyway. Brother Yandel, you been to the doctor yet?
No.
You may need to go today. I think Brother Yandel's the one that started this whole thing. Or him or Brother Richardson, I don't know. It's close there. I don't know. But say you look at him. He's hearing me cough. He's wanting to cough a little bit. And you're making me want to cough. But anyway, it's good to be in God's house. Amen. And you know, I was thinking this morning, it's good to be in the house of God. It's never good not to be in the house of God. As a child of God, I think his children ought to want to be in the house of God, and it's a place that we ought to be. And I was saying this morning, I'm glad that I've been very blessed in life. I've been in church all my life. That's the only life I know. And I know that not everybody was raised maybe in a good Christian home, but I was, and I'm very thankful this morning that God allowed me to live in a home where church has always been important in life. And church has changed a lot. I was thinking this morning, even in my lifetime, and I consider myself, I'm still very young, but even in my lifetime, I mean, just things that you hear, from people and what takes place in churches today, it's changed a lot. And it hasn't changed for the good in many ways. And I was thinking about it this week. You know, when you work, I have the privilege of working with the the basketball team here. A lot of different guys from a lot of different backgrounds. And it's kind of unique sometimes to get to talk to them and find out what's going on in their life and spiritually and at church and so forth. But you know, I kind of sum it up this way. When I say church of today, and I realize it's not all churches, I don't think we're this way, but all, you know, not all churches, but in general, the church of today, it's all social now and not spiritual anymore. And I don't know of a better way to sum it up than that churches of today have become just social events and not spiritual events. We've left the spiritual aspect out of churches of today, and that's why we're in the shape that we're in, and it's a sad day. But it's good to be here this morning, and I'd rather be here than in a doctor's clinic this morning, I'll just tell you that, and I'm glad that you're here as well. Ephesians chapter number 1, we'll begin here and look at these this chapter here. Now, the book of Ephesians, and I'll just lay a little bit of groundwork. We're not going to be very long this morning. I don't think I can go very long this morning. But in Ephesians, it's one of the epistles that we would call the from Paul while in prison. It's amazing what Paul accomplished in life through the work of God in his life while he is in prison. And the time that he spends there, and the time that he is led by the Holy Spirit of God to pen these letters, and this is going to be one of them. The book of Ephesians here, this is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and it tells us basically and kind of sums it up that God basically has a plan and a purpose for all. And that's kind of the central theme of the book of Ephesians. It's a constant reminder of God's place in our life and God's plan and God's purpose that he has for his people. As a child of God, God has a plan for you. As a child of God, God has a will and a purpose for your life. God has a will and a purpose for my life this morning. We're very special in the eyes of God. We're important in the eyes of God. We're important in the work of God this morning. You may say, well, you know, I'm not really that much. You are much. You are somebody this morning. And I think the book of Ephesians reminds us of who God is in the life of a believer this morning and how blessed we are and how privileged we are to be even called the child of God this morning, to be a part of his worldwide work and purpose this morning. We have a part in that this morning. Lord willing, if we live to see tomorrow, God's going to have a plan for your life tomorrow. God's going to have a will for your life tomorrow. And as I read through the book of Ephesians, it's a constant reminder of who God is in my life and how that there is a will and a purpose that God has for my life. And it's not the purpose and the will that God has for our life is usually totally opposite of how we view life often. We're more consumed in maybe our work or our job or our homes or the bills we have to pay and all the things that kind of entail in life. But that's not why we're here this morning. We're here to serve God. Lord willing, this week that lies ahead, it's an opportunity. It's a day God gives us to serve him. And we have to constantly remind ourselves that that is God's purpose today, is to serve him and bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose today. That's God's will for our life, but we'll get into the book here. So with that being said, it tells us in the book of Ephesians that God, he has a plan, he has a purpose for all of us. It's our responsibility in return to do that, to accomplish that purpose and that will that God has for our life. So let's get into the book here. We'll kind of just more of an introduction here in Ephesians chapter 1, but it says in verse number 1, Paul. So he acknowledges right off the bat in this letter who's writing. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to be and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So in verse 1, we find here Paul, right off the bat, he acknowledges that he is the one writing the letter. Paul introduces himself right at the very beginning of the letter. Now, in the day and age that we live in, if you are to write somebody a letter, you will usually sign your name where in that letter? At the end. In Paul's day, it was just the opposite. They would sign their names at the beginning and let you know right at the very beginning of the letter who's writing the letter. It's just the time and day that we live in, it's just the opposite. We will usually sign our names at the end. But Paul here, he acknowledges he's the one writing in verse number 1. And he tells them that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we find here that he instructs them of who he is here. Of course, it's Paul. He is an apostle, if you would, here. And he says here, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. But in the middle of the verse here, he says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now, when it says by the will of God, that's very important because he tells you also who gave him the commission to write the letter. It's God. God is his authority. God is his credentials, if you would, and it's by the will of God. And that was the will of God for his life. He was fulfilling the will of God that God had for him while he is in prison. He's in prison as he writes the letter. But we find here that Paul acknowledges who he is. He acknowledges, I'm the one writing the letter. I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And it's by the will of God that I send this letter. Now, you're never going to be any more successful in life than when you're doing the will of God. Now, there's people that's accomplished some great things in life. But when it comes to the end of life, if it wasn't in the will of God, it really has no value whatsoever. You see, today, we may accomplish some things in life. This next week, you may have a plan. I know there's several that teach school in here this morning. You probably have a what they call a lesson planner for the week. And you already know each day what you're going to do next week and what you're going to teach and how far you need to get into that week and as far as the studies and so forth. And you have it all mapped out and all planned. But you know what? We can have a plan and we can have goals each day. And there's some days I'll end the day and I'm like, man, I got a lot of work done today. There's some days I look back and say, I didn't get much done today. But you know, what I accomplish and what I don't accomplish, if it's not in the will of God, it has no value. The only thing that matters is accomplishing the will of God. Does everybody understand? That's what Paul is trying to tell them here, that as he writes this letter, as this letter is being sent to them, it is through and by the will of God in the life of Paul to write this letter. So Paul was commissioned by the will of God. And that's the way we ought to live our life. We ought to live our life commissioned by the will of God. We ought to do what we do in life because it's the will of God for our life. Not because it's something we want to do, it's something we want to accomplish in life, but we ought to live our life every day by the will of God. I'm afraid this morning that we're probably as guilty as anybody, but how often do we live life from day to day just doing what we, just a routine of the day because we got up one day and this is what I have to do today instead of getting up and realizing there's a reason that I'm breathing air today, that God's granted me another day of life. And we need to go into every day that we have understanding that this is an opportunity to accomplish God's will for my life. Paul is commissioned here by the will of God. We also find in verse number 1, the letter sent to the saints, which are at Ephesus. Now, saints were those who have been saved by the grace of God. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, we're going to find the word grace often mentioned, if you would. In fact, verse 2 starts off with the word grace, and we get to that in just a moment here. But the letter is being sent to the saints, which are those which have been saved by the grace of God. Now, the word saints means to be separated, to be set apart, to be devoted. So Paul is writing this letter. The letter is being sent to the church there at Ephesus, and it is written unto those which are the saints there, which are those that are saved, born again by the grace of God, that are separated and set apart and devoted to the work of God. Now, we don't teach and preach much anymore about living that way, but I've got news for you. That's the way God wants us to live our life. God wants us to be those that are saved by the grace of God, separated unto God, set apart unto God, and devoted to the work of God. That's still what God wants from a believer this morning. We've gotten to the point nowadays where people feel like they've done God a favor if they just go to church on a Sunday morning. I mean, we need to understand and realize that it's not just a Sunday morning lifestyle we're living here. It's an everyday lifestyle we're living here. It's something we ought to be doing every single day of our life, living a life that is saved by the grace of God, separated unto God, set apart unto God, and devoted to service unto Him. So we find here they were sent to the saints of God. We find in verse number 2, he says, grace be to you and peace. It's interesting. I didn't go back and study, but most all, if not, I don't know if I can say all, but most, I guess I should say, or I guess I should say it's very common for Paul to open up a letter with these exact words. If you go back and study the other letters that Paul had penned and written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he'll always make the comment, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's we say, well, that's Paul greeting them. And he is. He's greeting them. And it's kind of the introduction here of the letter as he greets the people there, the saints there at Ephesus. But he says, grace be to you and peace. And it's a common opening for Paul's letters. He was very, I don't know if I should call it a habit, but that was just the way Paul would introduce himself and open up an introduction in the letter. And it was a common opening for the letters of Paul. Now, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the word peace there, and I'm just going to kind of make reference to it real quick, is a word that we find often at Christmas time at different places. You know, you'll find different words used to describe a little bit about Christmas. Joy is used a lot in advertisements when it comes to the marketing of Christmas. The word peace is often used there as well. But let me say this. You're never going to have peace outside the grace of God. That's why we find the word grace mentioned be to you and peace. You see, you don't ever get the peace without the grace of God. And I'm afraid that we live in such a materialistic world when it comes to Christmas that it's gotten so, Christmas has been, I'll be honest with you, the devil's been very, very cunning and sly in how he's tried to destroy Christmas. And it's gotten to the point where it's just materialistic time, and we have to understand that Christmas is a very special time to the child of God. And he says here, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. That's where grace and peace comes from, and that is from God our Father. Now, we're going to use the word grace here for the next few verses as well and kind of discuss a few things here that's very interesting to me. But if we find grace be to you and peace from God our Father. You see, grace and peace only comes from God. Grace and peace is not something I can give you. It comes from God. Now, God can use an individual as a conduit or as a channel to deliver grace and peace to others, but grace and peace is not something that you can come up with on your own. It comes from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find here, I think we all acknowledge that grace comes from Jesus Christ. Peace comes from Jesus Christ. And that's important because we're going to move on here and to verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All right, a lot of information in verse number 3. It's a verse we read through, and we don't really put a lot of thought to what's actually being said here. You'll find in verse number 3 that verse 3 is actually speaking of blessings. Now, if I were to get here this morning and or maybe Brother Richardson were getting the pulpit and maybe to stop and say, you know, does anybody have a blessing to share with us? Anybody have something special, a blessing you'd like to share with the congregation? Okay. Well, we'd have different responses. Now, here's what's so different than this verse. Almost every single time we share a blessing publicly of how God's blessed us, it's always physical. This verse isn't dealing with spiritual things, physical things. It's dealing with spiritual blessings. Do we understand this morning and have any idea of how blessed we are spiritually this morning? Not talking about material things. It's not talking about physical things. He's talking about spiritual blessings. We, because of the grace of God, because of the peace of God, have been very blessed with spiritual blessings this morning. But how often do we always look at blessings as something physical in life? Well, I'm very blessed this morning. I was able to get up and come to church this morning. Well, I'm very blessed this morning. I've got good health. I've been very blessed. I got a pay raise at work last week, or on and on and on. See, all those things, those are physical things in life. Paul's not talking about things that are physical. He's talking about things that are, as he describes in verse number 3, spiritual blessings. See, we don't often look at blessings as spiritual. We look at them as physical, and we need to understand and realize how blessed we are spiritually this morning. That's why I go back to talking a little bit about church today. So many churches are gathering today, and it's a social event, a physical event, an emotional event, but not a spiritual event. Are y'all with me this morning? Is anybody alive? Are y'all alive this morning? You, myself included this morning, as a child of God, saved by the grace of God, I have the peace of God, and I am so blessed spiritually this morning. And we could talk about spiritual blessings this morning. Number one thing somebody would say if I were to ask, okay, anybody got any blessings this morning you'd like to share with the church? It can't be anything physical. It has to be something spiritual. First thing somebody's going to say, I'm glad to be saved this morning. And that is a spiritual blessing, dear friend. But besides that, you talk to me this morning. What is a spiritual blessing outside of being saved? Y'all help me out. Give me something. Give me an idea. Peace of mind. That was my next thought. I'm glad this morning that I don't lay my head down at night worrying about where I'm going to spend eternity. I have peace of mind. Now, when it comes, it's amazing I say that. I have peace of mind when it comes to my eternal destination, if you would. I don't know that I can always say that because I worry about a lot of other things in life, but that's one thing I don't have to worry about in life. All right, spiritual things. We're a child of God, but spiritual, salvation is spiritual. Having a peace of mind is something that is a spiritual blessing. Name something else. I'm sorry? He never leaves us. You're going to find out, I think if we give about 5 reasons, we'll run out. You know why? We never meditate. We never think about spiritual blessings. You see, we think this morning just because we have good health, we're blessed. I've got news for you. You can have bad health this morning, be blessed. We think we're blessed because we've got a good job. Okay, what happens if your job closes tomorrow? Are you still blessed? Spiritual blessings. Salvation is a spiritual blessing. Peace of mind is a spiritual blessing. Knowing that God will never leave us, that's a spiritual blessing this morning. Anything else? It's not a trick question. I don't know that there's a right and wrong answer here. Anybody else? knowing that you have eternal life, eternal salvation. Come on, y'all help me out. Well, I thought we'd get to five. We're up to three. Joy. We talked about joy. We see it everywhere. It advertised for Christmas about joy. But let's be honest, most people don't have joy. But a child of God has joy. That's a spiritual blessing. All right, talk to me some more. He hears prayer. I'm thinking about prayer this morning. You know, prayer is a spiritual blessing. In fact, I don't know of one of the bigger, greater blessings we have this morning than the opportunity to go to God in prayer. You know, I'm glad this morning that I can go and talk to God directly this morning. Just think about if we didn't have the avenue of prayer. Prayer is a spiritual blessing. All right, what else? Word of God, right here in our very loud. That was another one. And that's about the extent of what I thought of this morning, the Word of God. Do we understand and realize there are most, this, I don't know if I could say most, I don't know what the percentage would be, but I'd say this, there's an enormous amount of people in this world that do not have a copy of the Word of God. Can you imagine not having a Bible? Anything else? Spiritual. Holy Spirit of God. You know that something inside of us that kind of guides us and leads us, that teaches us, that instructs us, the Holy Spirit of God. Conviction. You know, conviction, we look at conviction as a negative thing. Conviction is actually a positive thing. Spiritual blessings. I want to go back once again and look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He doesn't say physical. Now, we acknowledge this morning that we are blessed in physical ways this morning. I'm not saying God doesn't bless us in spiritual, physical ways. He does in materialistic ways. God does bless us in those ways as well. But I've read this, and even in my lesson book, the one that wrote the lesson kind of made reference to this, and I got to looking at this, and I'm thinking, you know, I want to underline the word spiritual blessings, and it needs to be a reminder to me daily, actually, that I am very blessed spiritually this morning. And I'm not belittling salvation in any way, but it's more than just salvation this morning. He goes on to say, in heavenly places, and it's in Christ. You'll never experience spiritual blessings outside of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. You will never experience spiritual blessings outside of Jesus Christ. Now, I say that because there's a lot of churches this morning. They're going to try to create a big emotional event at their social club this morning. But you know what? If it's not in Christ, it's not spiritual this morning. It's only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we find here in verse number 3, this verse is speaking of blessings that we find in and through Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, we often think of blessings as physical, but the greatest of all blessings are spiritual this morning. Do we understand this morning? I think God does bless us physically. If you're ever sick and you get well, it's only by the grace of God you get well. I think God is the healer of the physical body. Does God always heal everybody? No. I think I'm very blessed physically this morning. As far as I know, I'm able to be here this morning. I'm able to walk. I can see with my eyes. I had breakfast this morning. I had sausage and biscuits this morning. I had a cup of coffee this morning. I looked in the refrigerator. Our refrigerator has so much in it, stuff falls out when you open the door. The heat came on last night in my home. I have a good bed to lie down in. I've got a good job. I enjoy life. I have an automobile that runs up and down the road. And it's in good shape as far as I know. I mean, I could look around physically in my life and realize I've been very blessed physically. But greater than that are my spiritual blessings. I got news for you. I'd rather have salvation than everything I just gave you. I'd rather be the sickest man on planet Earth and have salvation than to be the healthiest man on planet Earth and not have salvation. So when you really think about it, the spiritual blessings you have are greater than the physical blessings that you have. Does everybody understand? Everybody with me so far? But why is it if the pastor says, somebody share a blessing with me, it's always physical? Now, I dare say that somebody would probably say, I'm just glad to be saved this morning. Thank God for salvation. That is spiritual. But outside of that, I would, if we had to list 100 things, that'd be the only one spiritual on the list, and everything else would be physical in life. And Paul is saying here in verse number 3, what a blessing it is to be blessed spiritually. Now, the blessing here is from the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's very, very important, and I don't think we've got to spend a lot of time on that, but I think we would all understand and realize this morning that all we have spiritually comes through Jesus Christ. Does everybody agree with me this morning? I may make this statement sometimes. I'm so blessed to live in America. No, I'm blessed that God's my Heavenly Father. I mean, isn't it amazing how that we always view blessings as something in the physical realm of life? And we hardly ever look at the blessings that we have spiritually in our life. And we could spend a lot of time there in listing a little bit of things that are spiritual in life, but we'll move on here. So you find here that verse number 2, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find grace and peace listed here. It comes through Jesus Christ. We find in verse number 3 that we are blessed, and we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Then he goes on and says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. A lot of information, verse number 4 as well. I'm glad to say this morning that we were chosen by God. That's what verse 4 tells me. Verse number 4 says, right off the bat here, it says, according as he hath chosen us. You know, I jotted down several things here. Did you know that God loved us before we ever loved him? Before the foundation of the world was ever created, God loved us. Let me say this. God came looking for us before we went looking for him. And I also put down, God convicted us before we ever called on him. God chose us before we chose him. And this verse tells me here, this all began back before the foundation of the world was ever created. We are chosen for a purpose. Now, we started off our lesson this morning talking about how that God has a purpose and a will for our life. And that is true this morning. But we have to understand and realize that we are chosen for a purpose. And he goes on to say here that we should be holy, he says in verse number 4. Now, we don't want to spend a lot of time there in this day and age we live in, because nobody wants to be told that God expects his people to be a holy people. The word holy means to be set apart from the world and dedicated under the service of God. Do we understand and realize this morning that today, we know we have today. I don't know about tomorrow, but right now, as far as I can see, we have today. And we have to understand and realize that God has a will and a purpose for our life today. Now, I think that the will of God and the purpose of God as a member of this church, number one, I think God expects me to be at church this morning. Would you agree? I've never felt that God's will for my life is to stay at home. Now, I understand even my own self, I've missed two Sundays in a row from sickness, and so we're not, things happen and so forth, where we may not able to be able to attend church and so forth. But I'm saying when you're well labeled, I think God would have his child to be in his house. Nobody wants to help me out on that one. I think I don't want to get sidetracked here a little bit. I think there's many reasons why we ought to be in the house of God on Sunday. But let's be honest, it's gotten to where it's probably the most forsaken thing on planet Earth is the house of God today. Hard to get people to go to church. I don't know you want to mess up a week, just stay out of church. Usually I find out that'll mess it up pretty good. I think God wants us to be in the house of God. I think God would have us to be holy, as he mentions here in verse number 4, and without blame before him in love. So we're a chosen people in verse number 4. We're chosen that we would be a holy people. We're chosen to be set apart from the world that we live in and dedicate ourselves unto serving God. That's God's will and purpose for our life. Sometimes people say, oh, I wish I knew what God's will was for my life. Oh, you know, like it's some big mystery. Now, I do believe that we ought to pray and search the will of God for our life and have a relationship with God so we can know what God would have of us from day to day and from week to week and month to month and year to year. I understand all that. But I'm afraid so often people get so sidetracked. Oh, I just wish I knew what God's will for my life is. You know, and I've said this before. You want to know what God's will is for your life? I think 99% of it can be found right here in God's Word. Just start with the book of Genesis and read all the way to Revelation and live that, and I think you'll probably find yourself pretty close to the will of God for your life. But we find here that we are to be set apart from the world and dedicated unto the service of God. Now, we could spend a lot of time just on that one little word, holy. Do we have that song in our song book, Holy, Holy, Holy? We don't sing that much in churches anymore. Do we understand that our God we serve is a holy God? And God, in return, wants us to be holy. Now, I don't know how you can get away from verse number 4 because it says very plainly at the middle of the verse that we should be holy and without blame before him in love here. Talking about our service that we give to God and the life that we live for God. There will be a difference in the child. Does everybody agree this morning? There ought to be a child of God ought to be different. Do we agree? My question for us this morning is, how are we different? We agree we ought to be different. We think God's Word instructs us to be different. I think the Word of God describes it in many ways. I often refer to it this way. In the Word of God, God expects us to be a peculiar people. Would you agree? Does anybody know what the word peculiar means? Different. May I ask us this morning, how are we different? How are we different? What sets us apart? What is it that makes us peculiar? Okay, not living like the world. All right, now we can start listing a list that could go very long. The way we what? The way we think. What else? Dress, way we look. What else? How you act. Habits. What else makes us different? How we react. Here's one, how we talk. I'll be honest with you. I'm fed up with being in this world and hearing garbage, foul-mouthed people all the time. My wife and kids know that me and Patty, we really struggle with that. One of our shortcomings is we got to the point where I'm just not going to sit in a restaurant and hear some vulgar, foul-mouthed person sitting beside me just talk garbage all the time, the whole hour I'm there. Sometimes it's hard to find Christians that talk right. What else? What makes us different? Holy. We go to church, to the house of God on Sunday. I mean, there's so many things that we could list this morning, and I don't want to get too sidetracked here because my time's getting close to out. But let me move on real quickly. Verse number 5, big time verse here. A lot of people are very confused about verse number 5. Having, what's that next word? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by, tells you who it's by, Jesus Christ, to, who is it to? Himself, according to the good pleasure of His, what's that next last little word? Will. Isn't it amazing in the book of Ephesians, we've only read how many verse 5, you keep finding that little word will. God has a will and a purpose. We've talked about that. So let's go back here and talk a little bit real quickly about verse number 5. Predestination. The word predestination means, and this is the definition of it, to determine beforehand. Now, some people say that right there, you see, God decided before the foundation of the world was ever created who was going to be saved and who was going to be lost. That only certain people would be saved and certain people would be lost, and God's the one that decides it. That's not what the verse is talking about. God did not say that some people is to be saved and others are to be lost without ever giving them a chance. Every single soul has an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. And it's interesting here. He says, having predestined unto us the adoption. Another interesting word. Adoption means to legally declare that someone who is not his own to be his own. You know what adoption is when somebody adopts a child. I think the Bradley's family, their son, they adopted a child, correct? Hasn't been finalized? They've been working on this for how long? Several months. And I don't know much about adoption. I have known of people that have adopted a child. It becomes very, very difficult to adopt a child. It can become very expensive to adopt a child and so forth. But hopefully and prayerfully, they will be able to legally adopt that child. Now, if they legally are able to do that, they will sign a document that will state that they now become, that child now becomes legally their own child. That's the same thing that happens to us spiritually in our life. How does all this happen? It happens through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I want to move on to as well to get to verse number 6 here. He's talking about salvation in verse number 5. Salvation is also the adoption of children. Who is it by? It's by Jesus Christ to Himself. It's according to the good pleasure of His will, talking about the will of God. Then verse number 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His, what's the next little word? His what? Grace. That word grace keeps popping up here in Ephesians chapter number 1. Wherein, he says in verse number 6, He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, let me just say real quickly, and I've got to close out here. Everything about salvation and everything about adoption that we find here in this verse 5 and 6, all of that brings praise to God and glory to God. Acceptance in verse number 6 as well is another word. It's another great spiritual blessing made available. How is it made available? Only through Jesus Christ. You see, we are accepted in the beloved. Now, the beloved here in verse number 6, that's Jesus Christ. He is the beloved. And we are accepted in the beloved, which is Jesus Christ. Verse number 7, in whom we have redemption. Another important word here. And you get that through His what? through his blood here. So we are redeemed. How are you redeemed? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Redemption speaks to the price that was paid, if you would, in verse number 6. You'll find, let's see, in verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so we find in verse number 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence. So you find even in verse number 8 that salvation is so wonderful, it even gives you wisdom and prudence in life. Do you realize that when you became a child of God, God gave you wisdom? Now, the word wisdom basically means to be intellectually have the answers to the life problems. That's what wisdom is. Now, prudence basically means the ability to apply wisdom so that you can solve the problems of life. Do we realize this morning that as a child of God, this is so important. Because I'm a child of God, I have the answer for everybody's problems in this world. You mean you think you solve all the problems? No, I've got the answer for all the problems. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. We'll have to stop here because my time's out. I've got to quit, and we need to dismiss here real quickly. The book of Ephesians is a constant reminder that God has a will and a purpose in your life. Because of who God is, because of your salvation this morning, you have so much. You've got so much to offer this world that we live in. And we live in an upside down, backward, sinful, ungodly, lost world. And as we often describe, we are the light in a dark world. You actually have the answer for everybody's problem. And that answer is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray that you guide, lead, and direct in our service this morning. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.